Matthew chapter 9. I'll be reading verses 14 through 17, and out of reverence to God, please stand as His Word is read. Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 14. Then John's disciples came to Him, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus said to them, "Can the wedding guests be sad when the groom is with them? The time will come when the groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one patches an old garment with unshrunk cloth, because the patch will pull away from the garment and make the tear worse. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the skins burst, the wine spills out, and the skins are ruined. No, they put new wine into fresh wineskins, and both are preserved." You may be seated. As we're continuing in our study in Matthew, we looked previously on Sunday about Matthew. Matthew, also known as Levi, was the son of Alphaeus. He was a tax collector. Now, tax collectors were even less popular in the time of Jesus than they are today. Nobody likes paying taxes anytime. And tax collectors were people that had bought a franchise to collect taxes for the occupying Roman government. They were despised. They were banned from church, from the synagogue. They couldn't go to the temple. They were not allowed to associate with other good Jewish people. They were an outcast. Jesus had just finished healing a paralytic. He didn't heal him first. He told him, "Your sins are forgiven." But the religious leaders, the Pharisees, thought in their minds, "He's blaspheming. Only God can forgive sins." And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why are you having evil thoughts in your mind? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? They're both just as easy to say. But the only one that you can see whether it happened or not is get up and walk. If they don't walk, then the words were meaningless." Well, Jesus said, "So you can see that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins, get up and walk." Saying, "I can do both." Matthew was considered one of the worst of sinners because he was a traitor to his country, and he was one that they didn't allow into any worship of God. But Jesus came to him, to a man that they didn't think had any opportunity. The Jewish leaders didn't have any think he had any opportunity for forgiveness, and Jesus called him and said, "Come and follow me." Now, one thing interesting about Matthew, as we look through the Gospel of Matthew, he's one that quotes the Old Testament more than anyone else. He knew the Bible. He just wasn't allowed to associate with anyone because he was a sinner. Well, he had a get together at his house, and he invited the ones he was allowed to talk to, other tax collectors and sinners, and the Pharisees, who wouldn't allow Matthew into the synagogue, started complaining. Why does Jesus associate with sinners and tax collectors? Jesus said, "It's not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick." Now, you have to realize you're sick take medical treatment. Jesus is commenting on the Pharisees not believing that they needed help. And Jesus says, go learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Not the rituals, but the actual heart concern for other people. We don't know how long after the Pharisees were there that John's disciples showed up. Now, John's disciples, this is referring to John the Baptizer. He is the one that set the way, prepared the place, prepared the way, preached for repentance, preparing for Jesus. He clearly told all his disciples, I am not the Messiah. He's coming after me. I'm not even worthy to tie his shoelaces, would be our modern equivalent, although most people are going to slip-ons these days, except in kindergarten and pre-K. That was one of the things in pre-K. Can you tie my shoe? Yeah. Well, John the Baptizer was preaching about Jesus. Let's look at what he said in the Gospel of John. Different John wrote the Gospel of John. John the Apostle wrote the Gospel of John. And John the Apostle never mentions his name in the Gospel of John. He just says the disciple Jesus loved. Well, let's look at the Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning in verse 19. This was John's testimony when the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask, who are you? He didn't deny it, but confessed, I am not the Messiah. What then? They asked. Are you Elijah? I am not. Are you the prophet? No, he answered. Who are you then? They asked. We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What can you tell us about yourself? He said, I am a voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, just as Isaiah the prophet said. Now, they had been sent from the Pharisees, so they asked him, why then do you baptize if you aren't the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet? I baptize with water, John answered. Someone stands among you, but you don't know him. He is the one coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie. All this happened in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I told you about. After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he existed before me. I didn't know him, but I came baptizing with water so he might be revealed to Israel. And John testified, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he rested on him. I didn't know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water told me, the one you see the Spirit descending and resting on, he is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and testify that this is the Son of God. The next day, John was standing with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this and followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and noticed them following him, he asked him, what are you looking for? They said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Coming, you'll see, he replied. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard John and followed him. And he first found his own brother Simon and told him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And he brought Simon to Jesus. When Jesus saw him, he said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which is translated Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. He found Philip and told him, follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the hometown of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and so did the prophets, Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." John the Baptizer was pointing to Jesus, and he showed his disciples, this is the one that takes away the sin of the world. And John, Andrew, Peter, Philip, Nathanael were all disciples of John that turned to follow Jesus, because John was just the one preparing the way, and they began following Jesus. Now, in Acts 19, we see that there are still some of John's disciples around, because Paul is talking to this group and said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you were baptized?" They said, "We've only received the baptism of John." Paul said, "That's a baptism of repentance." And he baptized them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. John's disciples that came to Jesus were not following Jesus. They were still following John. John, at this time, was in prison, or he might even have been executed by this time. They weren't looking to follow the one that John pointed to, but they were still following John's message of repentance. The Pharisees, they were ones that held on to the Old Testament rituals and added to it all kind of tradition. They were judging Jesus' disciples. Why aren't they doing the same things we are? It's sort of like some churches you might have been to, if you had the wrong translation of the Bible and you dared read from it. Don't you know Jesus did not use anything except the King James Version? And it was good enough for Paul and Peter. But the King James Version only came about in 1611. And it's an English translation. Jesus was the one that gave us the words that have been translated into almost every language in the world. If you do not read Greek and Hebrew, you're reading a translation. There are some very bad translations. But the best translation to read is the one you have in your hand. Don't say, "I'm not going to read this because it's not the best." Well, it's better than not having anything at all. And there are also some churches that they might walk, people walk in the door from a church, see, "We've got a piano and an organ. You can't have that. You've got to sing a cappella." Now, some people can sing better a cappella than many of us can sing with instruments. But we should not judge someone that thinks they're doing right by not using musical instruments, or someone that doesn't understand that everything's a translation that you have if it's in English or Spanish or whatever language you're using. But the Pharisees and John's disciples were judging others. Why aren't they doing like we're doing? They're not doing the same thing. We fast and they don't. The Old Testament only calls for one fast once a year on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. And that's in Leviticus 16, verses 29 to 31. On the Day of Atonement, you're to deny yourself, to fast. But according to Luke 18, the Pharisees said, in verse 12, Luke 18, 12. Well, we fast twice a week. Look how good we are. Jesus has been talking about the Pharisees often. Your righteousness needs to be greater than the Pharisees. They like to be seen for their righteous deeds. Now, there's nothing wrong with fasting if you're doing it for the right reason. If you're doing it to be seen by people, it's for the wrong reason. If you're doing it out of repentance and contrition before God, that's something else. And so, Jesus says, can you imagine people not eating at a wedding feast? Now, a wedding feast, it wasn't like the weddings we go to. It would last a week at the time of Jesus. Can you imagine having to pay for that wedding reception? You got to feed them and give them stuff to drink, and they're hanging around your house for a whole week. Well, Jesus says when the groom's there, people are going to be rejoicing. But there's going to come a time when the groom is taken away, and Jesus is talking about his time where he'll be executed. People will turn their back on him. He'll be left alone on the cross. And then he gives two examples. He says, first, no one takes a new, unshrunk piece of cloth and puts it on an old garment. Now, there used to be a time when we wore our jeans and when we got holes in the knees, we'd put a patch over it. Now, they buy them with holes in the knees. And holes are, and they pay extra money to get jeans with holes in them. But you didn't take a new piece of cotton denim to put on your busted out knee on your jeans. Because the patch, once you washed it the first time, would shrink and it would rip apart and your knee hole would be bigger than it was before. You do not put new cloth to patch an old garment. You can't patch things up, Jesus is telling the disciples and the Pharisees. You can't fix the tradition of the Pharisees. You got to start fresh. You got to have something new. You can't just add on and think it's going to be better. You got to have a new start. And then Jesus says, and you don't put new wine into old wineskins. Now, they put their wine in a leather bottle. They would take the skin of an animal, and a lot of times they would turn it inside out. If it had no leather, when it's freshly skinned, it's still real pliable. But if, as it ages, the leather becomes brittle and cracks, the wine inside the skin is going to ferment. And when it ferments, it makes bubbles. Now, when we had our fall festival here, I am the animal balloon maker. And I got all kinds of balloons, and I got a little pump and the animal balloons. But the balloons that have been sitting around for a few years, you try to pump them up, and they go pop. You have a pop instead of an animal pup. You don't get the animal, you just get an explosion. Because the balloons get brittle with time. So you need to have fresh balloons to make new animal balloon sculptures. The same principle is here. When you put wine, you put it into a new wineskin. So as it ferments, and wine is going to ferment if you don't refrigerate it, it will burst the skin. But you put new wine in a new wineskin. Jesus is saying, what I'm teaching is something new. He's not saying abandon the Old Testament. Because a little bit earlier in Matthew 5, he said, don't think I've come to abolish the law and the prophets. I haven't come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. He's talking about you cannot fix a system that says you have to work your way to heaven. He's saying you have to have an understanding that you can't do it yourself. It's one that God does. Jesus came to fulfill the law. The law is put in charge to lead us to Christ so we may be justified by faith. Galatians 3:24. We're to see that we can't do it on our own. The Pharisees and John's disciples were thinking they can get right with God on their own. Jesus says, no, you can't. You got to have forgiveness as a new way of living, not just doing rituals to get right with God. You're never going to get right with God by doing rituals. Jesus was showing a different way than what John's disciples were teaching, and a different way from what the Pharisees were teaching. Jesus was teaching about forgiveness. Jesus was teaching about the power that comes from him. And we need to have faith in Jesus. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Hebrews 11:1. If you see it, it's not faith. Now, everybody look at me for a minute. Everybody look here. You are faithing the pew. Nobody looking at me was looking at their pew going, I wonder if it's going to hold me up. Now you're wondering if it's going to hold you up. But when you were looking at me, you weren't on the balls of your feet, ready to jump up, that pew's going to collapse. You are putting your whole weight, your faith in that pew. We're to put our whole weight, our faith in Jesus Christ. But the Pharisees taught, trust in your actions, trust in your man-made efforts to be right with God. Jesus said, that's not how it's supposed to be. You're to trust God, not yourself. Stand with me for our closing prayer. Lord, I thank you that you came to set the record straight. You came to fulfill the law and the prophets. And you showed where our understanding was wrong and how it can be corrected. Let us not rely on our own efforts for salvation, but rely on your completed work as you pray in our situation. In Jesus' name.